Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We are now chatting to the founder of Journeys Making a Meaning and our Israel correspondent, Julian Resnick. A very good afternoon, Julian.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Julian, please, can you give us an update on the elections? What's happening? I mean, we're obviously picking up news here, but please, can you give us some clarity?
So I'm going to say something personal just before I talk about the election.
Yes.
I think I need to say this. So in 5 days' time, I will be celebrating 46 years of having made Aliyah to Israel. So I have been here for 6 years longer than it took us to get through the desert to the land of Israel.
And I will continue
and say I still love this place. And then my question to myself, and I suppose to your listeners, is should my next line be in spite of?
And Mazel Tov, so, that's wonderful to hear.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's been a wonderful, I have to say, it's been a better journey for me over here probably than B'nai Israel in the desert, except I didn't meet anybody at Sinai during my 46 years over there.
Right.
Okay, so elections. So, you know, it's, what can I say? It's the fifth election in 3 years. And in a way, that says it all. Five election campaigns, five different governments in 3 years. And the only thing I would just add to that, by the way, our neighbors, the Palestinians, had their last elections 15 years ago and were supposed to be for a four-year term. So even though we've had, this is going to be the fifth in 3 years, they've had one in 16 years. So in a way, one has to choose. What does one want? You know, five in 3 years or one in 16 years? For me, the choice is pretty obvious, even though I prefer it to be one every 3 or 4 years. But anyway, it's the fifth in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So why new elections? Well, I think we're having new elections because the government got to a point where it could no longer rule. You know, it was on a knife edge for a long time because of the tiny, tiny majority, the incredible variety in terms of the coalition members, and the constant threat by individual coalition members of leaving the coalition over particular, you know, over particular issues that came to the Knesset for votes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're having a new election.
And is there any update or anything that we need to be aware of?
So, I think you need to be, you know, what updates would I give? So you do realize that I'm a little, like every Israeli, I'm a little biased.
Yeah.
There's not a
yes.
single Israeli
right.
you talk to, even those who say to you, I'm giving you just an unbiased opinion.
Yes.
I'm biased.
Yes.
First of all, I think it was very significant that the first place that Yair Lapid went to before actually being sworn in as prime minister after the Knesset decided that we were moving on to elections, the first place he went to was Yad Vashem.
Yes.
And he went to Yad Vashem because, in a way, he went to make a commitment. You know, his father was a survivor,
mm-hmm.
comes from a survivor family. And I think he made a commitment that I think is important to hear. The commitment is, that he is going to continue doing what I believe that all the prime ministers of Israel have done, no matter what side of the political map they're on. And this is where I think it's important to be careful before condemning any side of the political spectrum over here. His commitment, it's the same commitment as Bennett, the same commitment as Netanyahu, the same commitment as Ben-Gurion, all of them over the years, is to actually take care of the Jewish people in the best way that they can, that they understand, that needs to be
mm-hmm.
done. So anybody who now stands up, and it's going to happen because there's going to be a terrible campaign in which people will say awful things about each other, to paint any of the candidates as traitors to the Jewish people is a terrible disservice to democracy in Israel. And I have to say, I just think is totally untrue. And I hope none of your listeners are going to fall into the trap of deciding that anybody who's running, you know, for the as you know, for prime minister of the major parties is a traitor to the Jewish people. So that's the first thing I want to say.
Right.
The second thing that I want to say is that this is, as I just said a moment ago, this is going to be a terribly ugly campaign. It's going to be a terribly ugly campaign in every direction. People are going to say the most awful things about each other. And I'm not looking forward to that, because I am of the opinion that in a society as divided in Israel, the last thing you need to do is increase the antipathy between the different sides of the debate over here. You know, I for a long time have believed that the only way to govern Israel is for people to say, we need to compromise on our big dreams, on all sides of the political map. The big dream of the Likud is not possible. The big dream of Labour is not possible. None of the big dreams are possible. People have to compromise and get together and find the best possible solution for the greatest number of people. And I'm worried that we'll rip ourselves apart with this terrible campaign now, and then it becomes difficult to do the healing that needs to be done. That worries me greatly. The last thing I'll say before you ask a question is that I personally, and here your listeners need to know, a very personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
I am worried about a particular part of the electorate voting for people who I think ultimately do terrible damage to the state of Israel, and I'll be clear about who I'm talking about, even though it's clearly an opinion and some of your listeners might be horrified by me saying this. I think any vote for Ben-Gvir and Smotrich of the extreme right, extreme Jewish right, is an awful blow to the state of Israel. And I know that some of your listeners will be unhappy with what I've just said, but if I'm ever asked to speak about that further, I'll be happy to. I think a vote for the extreme, extreme, extreme right over here would be awful for the future of Israel.
And Julian, the area in the Abrahamic Accords.
So I think that it really is the good news at the moment, and that's why I hope that the elections, even though they're going to really fill the airwaves and fill the television screens and the digital media, the Abrahamic Accords are actually, it's a very, very positive moment in our history. There's something changing over here in the Middle East. You know, look at what's happening between Turkey and Israel. Look what's happening with the Gulf states in Israel. You know, when Biden arrives here, there's going to be a fascinating question about whether something's going to happen between us and the Saudis. And if this happens, we really are in a new space. We're in a new space, and this is largely, I have to say, to do with the fact that Turkey, the Gulf states, the Saudis are more worried about Iran than even we are. And it is clear over here to everybody, by the way, on the left and the right, mm-hmm. on the Zionist left and on the Zionist right, that Iran is our big worry, our big issue, and it is the people around us, the countries around us have the same type of worry. Turkey, by the way, is getting friendly with us, not only because of the worry about Iran, but the war between Russia and the Ukraine is making the Israeli gas fields a very attractive future commodity for Europe. Turkey wants to be in on the ground floor in the pipeline that is going to probably be created between our gas fields over here and Europe. And you do realize, of course, as I'm sure all your listeners do, that economics plays a huge role in any of the big political decisions that go on. So, I've been in Morocco a few times in the last few months, and whenever I go to Morocco, I've been there three times, people over there are delighted, are absolutely delighted about the new connection with Israel. And it is quite something the way we are being welcomed over there, because it's clear to people in Morocco, they are going to win big time.
Mm-hmm.
The Gulf states, if what they do now is leverage the agreement we made to enable Israeli high-tech companies to really help them in terms of agriculture, in terms of many other ways that we can help, this really is a game changer. And and for that, even though I might not personally have been a great supporter of the previous government, we have to thank the previous government in Israel for actually having put this on the table. And I always hope that people over here, as I hope in other countries, are mature enough to be able to say, even the government that I might not support does good things, and we have to say thank you. So I feel very good about where we're moving the Abraham Accords.
And just lastly, Julian, is there a sort of a positive stance in Israel at the moment? How are people feeling?
About the
elections. I sort of just want to go back to it. Is there a positive sort of feeling around the elections, or is it more of concern? Just in general.
Look, it's very early.
Yeah.
Very early. You know, they've just been announced. I think the people I speak to are a little cynical. The people I speak to are saying, you know, once again, the politicians are going to find ways to, to come out of this the other side, having feathered their nests in some way. There's a huge amount of cynicism at the moment towards political leadership over here, and a feeling that they're not really taking care of us. The big change, by the way, between this election and the past election, this election is not going to be, as the last one was, about Bibi Netanyahu.
Yeah.
This election is going to, I think, be about the economy.
Absolutely.
And it's not going to be yes, Bibi or no, Bibi. It's going to be who can provide some type of economic answers, because as I'm sure you're aware, that post-corona, not everything has returned to
normal.
What we had.
And sorry, Julian, I do need to cut it. And to our unknown question there, I hope that Julian managed to answer your question. Julian Resnick, founder of Journeys Making Meaning and our Israel correspondent, thank you for your report.